You could take out your Bibles and turn to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. It's found in your pew Bibles on 1011. So we continue the study of this amazing first sermon recorded in the book of Matthew of our Lord and Savior. And to get us back into the groove, it's been a few weeks. I thought we'd kind of step back a bit and pick up those main central themes of the book of Matthew as a whole and how they relate very specifically to chapters 5 through 7 in our text that is in front of us. So Matthew is really critically thinking about kingdom. And the central questions that he is asking have everything to do with that question of what does it mean to belong to the kingdom? Who's the king? First question, who's the king? Everyone, it's Jesus, okay? Jesus is the king. And the starting part of Matthew shows us that again and again. Christ Jesus, the king who has come as Lord, our lift your name on high, started from heaven to earth to show us the way. How has he come? He has come in the presence of Jesus Christ. Heaven has come to earth. And remember talking about John the Baptist, wondering how is it that the kingdom is here? How can we be sure? Well, Jesus says, well, go and tell John, who was in prison at the time, tell him that the lame are walking, the blind can see, people who are sick are being healed. That's what heaven looks like. No more crying, no more pain. Everything is gone. Heaven has come to earth. And that's how we know that the kingdom is at hand. Third question, how do you belong to the kingdom? And this is where we stopped for a moment and took a look at what Jesus is saying already in the sermon. He says there are two ways. You choose. Way number one, well, I tell you that unless the righteousness surpasses that of Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Or as he would say in verse 48 of that same chapter, be perfect. So there's route number one. Belong to the kingdom, your route to doing that, be perfect. And so if you're perfect, you're all set. You can close your Bible and you can go home. But then the second part is then what if you come to the point, as I think all of us would readily admit, we are anything but perfect. What then? And this is the text from chapter 5, verse 17, where Jesus says, do you think that I've come to abolish the law and the prophets? I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill him. The second route to becoming part of the kingdom is to receive the righteousness of Christ. Christ who has done the law perfectly. And he comes and says, here, I will do the law on your behalf. All you need to do is accept this gracious gift. The law is covered. And when you receive that righteousness, when you see the baptismal water of Christ who washes you and makes you clean, you now become part of the kingdom. So then the last question is this. What do kingdom people look like? And that's what the rest of the Sermon on the Mount is about. Now if you take a quick glance, you'll see all these little headlines in terms of headings on each of the sections. Murder, adultery, divorce, oaths, eye for eye, love for enemies, giving the needy, and on and on and on. It sounds a lot like what Jesus is setting up is kingdom law. How do you belong to the kingdom? Well, through Christ. But what does the kingdom citizen look like? He does the law. Jesus is saying everything but that. And I want to demonstrate that for a second. I want you to think of for yourselves right now, as all of you in the heat kind of start to wither, I thought, what would be a... Think of your favorite dessert. If you could have any dessert right now, what would you have? You got it? You got it in your head? It's all there? I'm going to put mine up to make you all drool. So there's mine. Wouldn't it be nice to have like a whole pile of those, Gary, sitting out? Would you have one when you get out? Oh, man, to have a Reese's Pieces Blizzard right now. Sound good? So imagine They're all sitting out right now waiting for you. That's mine. Someone else, you might have something else. But whatever your dessert is, and I say to you, okay, everybody, you need to head outside, and before you can get your favorite dessert, you need to go through the whole kind of area, the park and beyond, and you need to pick up 3 pieces of trash and come in. And when you got your 3 pieces, come on in and you can have your dessert. Now, here's the question. How many pieces of trash would you take in? Okay, think of the number in your mind. How many pieces of trash would you take in? You all have a number? Now, using your hand, I want you to hold up the number of how many pieces of trash you take in. You ready? You got your hand ready? Everyone has some number ready? I'm going to have you just hold your hand up like this. Ready? 1, 2, 3, put up your hand. How many pieces of trash would you take in? Now, some of you, I love to see some of the reactions here. What Jesus is saying in the next pieces is what happens so often in our hearts about doing the law. The law says, take in 3 pieces of trash. So what do you do? Many of us, I know some of you had like 2 hands up. You're like, wow, bless you. But so often, and my heart is right there. I can remember the days when I'm in a youth camp and you had to go out and you take in 3 pieces of trash. You take that only. And what Jesus is going on to say, whether at first about murder, you could look at it and say, well, I haven't murdered anybody today or this week. Check. Next. Adultery? Nope, I haven't done that. Check. Have I sought revenge on anybody? Nope. Check. Have I hurt my neighbor? Nope. Check. And what happens when we follow law like that, we get to the point in our life where we say this, I have arrived spiritually. I have done what the law required, and now I'm good. I am a master box checker. Think about that in terms of like the pieces of trash. You go out, and my heart would have been, oh, I'm going to go and find my 3, and the minute I got them, I am headed off for my blizzard. What have you done at that point then? What was the point of the exercise? To get you a blizzard? No, the point was to clean up the area. And the only thing that you ended up doing was being focused on box checking. 1, 2, 3, I'm done, out of here. And Jesus is going to go through one after the next, and says, that's what happens with law. Our spiritual hearts and desires get smushed. They get quashed down because we come like this. Nope, nope, nope. And now I don't have to do anything else in my spiritual journey. You see, Jesus is not about kingdom law. He's about what? He's about kingdom life. And that's what the sweep of the rest of the Sermon on the Mount is going back to again and again and again. And to do that, Jesus is going to say, I want so much more than just simply your lips or lip service to my law. I don't want just simply you do it because, okay, I can check the box. Or as we saw the last time we were looking at this text, I've come to the altar, I'm here, I did my sacrifice, and I'm on my way. That's called lip service. Jesus is saying, I want your lips and your lives. And so often we as Christians end up separating those two. We can come and we can sing, we can come and give an offering, but what happens in our life day in and day out matters. And Christ is calling us to this grand picture of his kingdom that sadly we so often miss. So here's the question. As we go through this, will you hear law or will you hear life? To take a look at this, I want you to see that Jesus is going to be going above and beyond every single one of the following things. The law says this, but I'm going to go above and beyond it. The law says that, wait till you hear what really this is all about. And he does that with this interesting statement. You have heard it said. So let's take a look how this begins. Chapter 5, verse 21. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago. Now that's code word for the Torah, or the writings of the prophets in this place, the Torah. Do not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. And then he says, but I tell you, and then he goes on. That's the above and beyond section. Now imagine how this rings in the heart and the mind of the Jewish people. You know how they approach the Torah. How many of you have been to Jerusalem and watched how they approach the Torah to this day? They hold the scroll with gloved hands. They take it out carefully and roll it out in front of them. They speak very cautiously about what the words are, making sure they do not miss a single word. The Torah is loved and special. Now imagine if someone comes into that mix and says, hey, the Torah says this, but I'm going to tell you something else. What are you saying about your authority? What are you saying to the people who are listening to you? Just think about that for a minute. If you're saying the law says this, but I tell you, who is the most authoritative in that moment? And Jesus again and again, look at verse 27, you have heard that it was said, but I tell you. Verse 31, it has been said. Verse 32, but I tell you. What is Jesus saying? The word is speaking. John 1. The one from whom all things have been made is speaking. And Jesus has more authority than the law itself. You know how Revelation ends, right? That there shall never be an additional word made to given into Scripture. And woe is the person who would ever add to Scripture. What is Jesus doing? As he is speaking the sermon, he is adding. He's filling in the blanks and going above and beyond the law. Now, typically, Jewish scholars at that time would maybe even use a phrase like that as a way of interpretation. The law says, but I'm going to tell you what this means. But that would always be followed up by a statement of so-and-so said, or I quote so-and-so, or I reference so-and-so. When you read this, Jesus never does that. Because his name is the name above all names. His word is truth. His way is life. And here in this text, the law is here, and Jesus is going above and beyond again and again and again. So we're going to go through these, and I want you to see how he does this in a very special way. First, we get to the top of the page, at least in my Bible, is the word murder. Sure, we all understand what murder is. And I dare say we haven't murdered anybody over the course of this week. But Jesus says, wait a minute, that's box checking. And I'm not into box checking. I'm into lives. I'm into transformed existence. I'm into people who want to serve with all their heart and soul. Do you remember what Jesus had just said? He said, when you serve me and live this life, you bring glory to God. A box checker gets in love with the law. They get, in fact, in love with themselves because they like to check boxes. And Jesus says, no. A kingdom follower is one who says, God, how do I please you? How do I serve you? And so he goes on and says, murder? Oh, it's so much more than what you're thinking. It's when that father destroyed his young son because of the words he said, and that son doesn't even know how to go on. It's the look of silent treatment from that one to a friend who has destroyed that person for weeks or months. It's It's the words spoken in haste, maybe on social media, that called a person a name or said something, maybe insinuating something about their looks or their character, and it destroyed them. It hurt them to the core. And Jesus says, that's not what a kingdom follower is. It's just not murder. It's not block checking. It's looking at life and saying, how am I raising up another image bearer of God to be who God has called them to be? What am I saying? What am I doing? How am I looking? Jesus is going way deeper. You've heard the law say, but I say, love in everything you do. The next one, you have heard that it was says, do not commit adultery. It was beautiful the way Eugene Peterson said this line. You don't think you've persevered your virtue simply by staying out of bed. Your heart can be corrupted by lust even quicker than your body. Do you see how Jesus says, here's the law, but I'm talking about life. I'm talking about everything in life. Men, if you're struggling with pornography, Jesus is saying stop, but not just stop. Stop for the sake of your wife. Stop for the sake of the other girls in your life. Stop because God has called you for something so much greater. Women, if you're watching Bachelorette and it's causing your heart to grow cold to your husband, stop. Because it's about kingdom life, not just adultery and being in bed with somebody. It's about a broader perspective. Jesus says, look, this is so important. Look at verse 29. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Jesus says, you have to be doing whatever it takes. You have to be pursuing this kingdom life, not to check boxes, but to live a life of gratitude to God. Remember verse 7 of our earlier text. That is verse 6, actually. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We're going to go at it with all our heart, knowing that dealing with sin on this earth has eternal consequences. The next one, it says, if anyone divorces his wife, must give her a certificate of divorce. Now, I want to stop here for a second. It is so easy for us to read this segment and instantly think of those who have already had a divorce. And I just want to pause here. That is not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is looking into the eyes of particularly the men in that context who in their mind have grown tired of their wife. Who look at them and go, well, I think I can find somebody better. Or I don't like the way she made my meal today. Or I don't like, blah, 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 blah. You fill in the gap. What Jesus is saying is he's looking at them and said, here's what the law says. If you want a divorce, get a certificate. Make sure you do the certificate. That's box checking. Jesus is saying, it is so critical that you understand the gift of marriage that you don't take it so lightly that you just kind of say, oh, good, I filled the law, gave the legal divorce papers, and I'm done. What Jesus is saying is you have to go above and beyond. That you see your relationship as so critical and so important that you will strive in every possible way to build your home up. I know Julie's not here right now, but Ben and Julie, that's part of a covenant promise. How do you show to the next generation? How do you show them the love of Jesus? By having a strong, faithful marriage. men and women, those who are married here, Jesus is saying, it is so critical that in your home, if you have grown tired of each other, that if you've tossed in the towel and you're just tired of the whole process of marriage, that you would stop and hear the above and beyond of Jesus. Marriage is critical. And we ought to be seeking whatever it takes to build up that home, to strengthen that home. Jesus would look at these men who had just kind of cast off women. You see, in that day, when a woman was cast off like that, she was a nomad. She was lost. She had no ability to make money. She was completely kind of pushed out and marginalized in society. And Jesus says, no. Marriage is a sacred gift, a sacred trust between husband and wife. And we may not treat marriage that way. Husbands, do you love your wives with all of your heart? And are you seeking their best? Are you honoring them with your life and your love and guiding them as a spiritual guide in your home? Wives, are you loving your husbands in the same way? Are you seeking their best interest? Are you praying for them? Are you wanting to have a relationship that is better tomorrow than it was today? This isn't about box checking. This is about life. Verse 35 again, he would say, 33 that is, again you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made. I tell you, do not swear by either heaven or earth, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is God's footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond that comes from the evil one. The law says like this, but God, Jesus is saying, wait a minute. Tell me of a place where God doesn't exist. Well, let's see, he's in heaven and he's on earth. He's in Jerusalem. He's everywhere. And so if he's everywhere, why in the world do you have to somehow swear by God when God hears every single one of your words? Your whole life ought to be one of truth. Your whole life ought to be words that are spoken according to truth. So you don't need to swear by God because he heard everything you said. May your yes be yes and your no be no. May we speak with truth. Not just simply adding the line, well, I swear by God, blah, blah, blah. He goes on, an eye for an eye. Don't seek after revenge, Jesus says. No, it's so much more than that. We go the extra mile. You see, Jesus comes back to the whole illustration, like the garbage picking up. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. Jesus is saying, it is so easy to say, I'm going to do just enough to fulfill the law. And that's it. I've heard again and again people say this. The government certainly needs more money and we should raise taxes to get more money. How many of us here have ever said, the government needs more money and I could give more right now? Exactly. How many of you went, whoa, I'm going to write a donation check to the government today? Exactly. We smile and laugh because that seems absolutely crazy. But why does it seem crazy? You could. The law demands X. And we do X. It demands $1,000. And you don't make sure you don't pay a penny more. And Jesus says that's what happens with people who approach the law that way. He says, wait a minute. You have to be of a nature that says, my heart goes far beyond just fulfilling the jot and the tittle of the law. If someone wants to go with you with a mile, my heart is in the way that I want to serve far beyond that. I'll go even the second mile. Then he concludes, "You have heard that it says, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' And you see how Jesus again goes above and beyond. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven." Because when we see how God responded to those who were his enemies, you and me, he gave up his life for those who rejected him. And when we see a father do that, we say, my heart ought to be the same way. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Go above and beyond this. Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? See, that's box checking. God wants so much more. Law will never be able to tell us about the love of Christ. And so Jesus will make it very clear. We can't approach it this way, because when we really think about murder, the only thing we can do in the box is check a yes. Amen? And when we think about adultery, the only thing we can check is yes. And when we think about seeking revenge in our hearts, we have done so. When you hurt a neighbor, you list it on and on. What will the law do? And this is Jesus' point. It ought to drive you to Jesus and say, thank you. Thank you for what you have done to fulfill the demands of the law. And then, upon seeing that, it ought to say, God, I just hunger and thirst for righteousness, because this is how I honor you with my life, to show you my thanks. I don't want to be a box checker. I want in my life to hunger and thirst, to go beyond what merely the law has to say. So, brothers and sisters, are you giving lip service to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Or have you devoted yourself to follow after him with all of your being? May we be dedicated not to the law, but to the King. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, we know our hearts, and you so well know how easy it is for us to be box checkers. Lord, we pray that in all of our life we would be found faithful, that we would strive after righteousness far beyond what simply the law has to say. May we engage not just our lips, but our lives as well. Oh Lord, we recognize that we fall short. Oh Lord, we pray that you would inspire us again to look at our lives and see how it is that we can offer this sacrifice of praise in a more zealous way than we have in the past. Lord, hear our prayer. Amen.